I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ball City, well, isn't it a pity that the Lore Boys are back? Or maybe a good thing. I don't know. Hi, everybody. I'm Ethan. Today, I'm joined with...
James Miller, here from Mexico.
James Miller. And Peter's not here today, as you may have noticed, because no one, like, jumped in to get down our throats to introduce himself before either of us, as Peter always does. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure Peter always does that. He's very aggressive when it comes to podcasting.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you met Peter, actually, Jamie? I don't know. Do you know who I'm talking about when I say Peter? Our usual third co-host?
I've got a memory span of about 3 weeks, and I haven't seen anyone named Peter in the last 3 weeks.
So. Okay, fair. No one in person named Peter. Only Pedro's.
Exactly.
Only Pedro's. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's a lot like a Pedro, just more Greek, I think. Is the difference. Yeah. Picture
a Pedro with yogurt.
Yeah, exactly. cheesy Pedro. Hi, everybody. This is a Lore podcast. We're down a host today. He's dealing with some very, very serious personal stuff that is too top secret for us to even talk about, honestly. He's doing some government work. He's out in a third world country, taking on some contracts, very shady stuff, but we're filling in for him. I'll be hosting. So this is going to be the third in a three-parter based on Jessica from Magic the Gathering and her brother Kamal. When I say third in a three-parter, I mean third in a fourth part, in a four-parter, because even though I promised to wrap this up in three, I finished writing today and I found a lot of fun stuff that I want to talk about. And it just did not feel right to end the podcast saying, like, and then she became the false goddess Corona. And then, like, leave it there. Like, I feel like we got to wrap that storyline up, right?
Damn, dude. I've seen ads for her all over Mexico.
Yeah, she comes in bottle or can. She's best with lime. Are there actually Corona ads in Mexico?
It's like whenever you look at like a bar and you see like Molson Canadian on the umbrellas, that's the kind of stuff.
It's all Corona? Okay.
Well, it's a lot of Corona. Across the street from me, there's like a literal hole in the wall that is like a breakfast place, but it's a literal hole in the wall because their umbrellas are Monsters cans, actually.
Oh.
So the hole in the wall comes from the Kyle that built it.
At a restaurant. That is amazing. You just have like a Monster Energy with your like eggs in the morning.
Yep. Excavated by Kyle's. That's how they made it.
Yeah. An archaeological find.
It's hard to find just like a place for like eggs in the morning though. Like I'm not having an easy time finding
them. You can't ask for eggs. You have to ask for huevos.
Huevos. Okay.
Yeah. That's why. If you go around asking for eggs, they won't know what you're talking about. That's the problem. So last time, we remember our girl Jessica, thrice touched by Infinity, had an affliction. She was infested with worms. Worms with a U.
Gross.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Yeah. After chasing her brother and the Mirari, which is like a Super Bowl-shaped artifact that grants wishes, but in a monkey's paw way where it destroys the wisher with their wish. So she was chasing her brother and the Mirari. She was stricken down by a wizard named Braids, a Cabal mage, and taken back to someone named the Cabal Patriarch. The Cabal Patriarch had Jessica turned into Phage, the Untouchable, through the intervention of their god Kubert and his own deadly touch. I say god, Kubert is a Numena, which is like a god. They're wizards who lived a long time ago and basically ruled all of Dominaria like gods, but they were more like really, really powerful kings.
Okay.
You remember all that?
So to be honest, it has been like a month since we talked about it. So there's a few things that weren't 100% there, but I do remember now that you say it.
Okay. I have a little bit of errata from the end of our last episode. So Jessica wasn't returned to Cabal City like I said she was, where the Cabal Patriarch was living, because he wasn't living there anymore, to another city called Affeto. So if you remember, Cabal City had a gladiator pit where people would fight.
And all the edgy goth kids watched them, and everybody's like black aspected in the city. And
Yeah. So that was Cabal City. The Cabal is like a black organization. There's the Order, who's the white organization. And there was Kamal, who is a barbarian from the north, Jessica's brother, who fought in the pits. And that's where he first saw the Mirari. His friend Chainer ended up getting the Mirari. And Chainer was a dementia summoner. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he summons his own worst fears.
Exactly. He ended up getting the Mirari, lost control of the immense power granted him by it in a pit fight against Kamal, and was transformed into a horrific beast of his own worst imaginings, then eventually slain. Cabal City, in the process, had sustained horrific damage and was completely overrun with his dementia monsters, and the Cabal relocated to the city of Affeto.
Okay.
So cool. after that fight with after Chainer's fight with Kamal, Cabal City was overrun by these like horrific beasts that are like arms spreading out of bellies and stuff. You know what could be more horrible?
Sorry, Tinder just sent me a notification. I'm recording on my phone, and it said, "What's the best way to get revenge on a ghoster?" What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe listen on, listeners, and find out the best way to get revenge on a ghoster. So she was Faith the Untouchable, also known as a ghoster. She just never responded to your messages. Just eventually, she met someone else on the same platform, and even though she seemed really interested in you, she was slightly more interested in the other person and decided to make that try and work.
Got it.
She bore the Cabal Patriarch a baby on the last episode. Right. And she was making a name for herself in the blood pits, just like her brother once did, because her touch killed people. Just one touch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she'd just take off a glove and, like, touch someone, and then that was it. Yeah, exactly. I remember. What happened to her brother again? I'm sorry if you just said it. But...
So, I'll feedback into it as we go through, but basically, Kamal got the Mirari after defeating Tanner. He tied it to his sword. Went back home to the barbarian tribes and tried to unite them. There, Jessica and like his old father figure, the leader of the barbarian tribes, tried to stop him. He ended up like dividing the tribes, and there was like a war between them. And he ends up like slashing Jessica with his Mirari sword. Right. And then he's like, "Oh, the thing was actually evil the whole time. Like, it corrupted everybody else's wish, but I thought my wish for power would be like innocent and good." So he ends up almost killing his sister. He takes her into the Crocin Forest, where he's chased after by Braids and Aquantis, the Merfolk ambassador, or Laquantis, sorry. Yeah.
I remember him.
And anybody who's like doesn't know what I'm talking about right now, this was all on a previous episode. Like I said, this is the part three. just a quick little recap, though. Then Braids captured Jessica and took her to the Cabal Patriarch and transformed him. And then we're gonna find out what happens with him.
Awesome.
And Jessica, and maybe a couple other people. So we ended the episode. With Jessica killing someone in the pits named Nivea, a woman. Nivea was married to a well-known pit champion named Ixidor, who had a bit of a gambling problem. So this episode, we're going to focus on Jessica and Ixidor. Kamal is going to be kind of just like he's going to show up and make plot happen every now and then. But we're mainly going to be talking about Jessica and Ixidor and somebody that Ixidor creates.
Got it.
Jessica is, or Phage, I should say at this point, is in the pits, and she kills someone named Nivea, who's the wife of this this pit champion named Ixidor. Ixidor had a bit of a gambling problem. He was known to frequent the pits, and he would always bet on his wife, and his wife would always win, and they were getting rich like that, and then she's killed, and he's all of a sudden out all his money, and he has a bunch of debts that he can't pay off. So seeing his wife brutally killed by Phage, an avatar of death, didn't do good things for Ixidor's mental well-being. That's like something you really need to take like some PTO for, you know?
Personal time off, definitely, yeah. Your wife gets slaughtered in front of you, and you lose your entire, all of the money that you own.
Not just in front of you, but in front of all your friends and cheering crowds of adoring fans.
And they're into it too. I forgot about that whole aspect of it.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with Bloodsport. It's a sport, right? So people are all about it. People go nuts. Team Phage, let's go.
Yeah, all of a sudden your hockey team losing doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah,
right?
So. Yeah. I mean, yeah, put it in context, right? Could be worse. We could be on Dominaria, boys. So Ixidor took his personal time off in the form of exile, because his debtors were basically like, you got to get the fuck out of town or we're going to kill you. So he's like, well, I guess I go live in the wilderness now. He devoted his time banished to becoming more powerful. He'd always been a master of illusions, but now his illusions took on greater form. So he was basically able to manifest his illusions in reality. So he was able to imagine something much like Chainer. But he wasn't imagining his worst fears. He was just kind of imagining anything and making it real.
Okay.
Which sounds like my kind of magic, honestly. If you had to pick like a school of magic, like, oh, I can cast fireballs. Like, ooh, I can, you know, I can make books float. It's like, yeah, I can just imagine anything and it becomes real.
Like, that's pretty cool. Honestly, if I were to choose one, I think it would be protection magic, though. I think that's just so cool to be able to protect you or the ones you love, like on a whim. I think that's really cool.
God, you're such a fucking nerd. you're a lovable nerd, don't get me wrong, and I appreciate that you would protect me being one of your loved ones, surely.
Exactly.
If I was tied to a train track and there was a train coming at me and you could pull a switch and it would not kill me, but it would go and kill five strangers, what would you do, James?
I would say, Ethan, stop imagining that train. You're just trying to test my love.
And then I would imagine a sick jump for the train to do as it jumped over me. I'm like, the scene was like, it would be fucking sweet. So Ixidor is out in the wilderness, and he's creating a bizarre paradise for himself, shaped by the wanton whims of his imagination. He planted a seed of magic within Phage so that anytime she killed, a death worm would spawn.
Sick.
A colossal worm hundreds of meters long. All her past kills and the kills she would have from then on would manifest in this way, coiling inside Phage, waiting to be released. So Ixidor is the one who gave her the worm infestation. I mentioned him at the end of last episode. I'm not even sure I named him at the end of last episode. But he's important this episode.
Okay. Are they imaginary worms?
No, they are his imagination, but they manifest in reality. And the way he's imagining it is every kill that she does is like an egg inside of her, like waiting to hatch into this like horrific, you know, half a kilometer long worm that could just like destroy like huge swaths of land and city.
It's like her conscience.
Your conscience is worms. That's I think Plato said that, right?
Well, no. Is that when you do bad things, it manifests within you, kind of thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, like worms. Like worms, I gotcha.
Yeah, like Plato said, yeah.
So this was surprisingly scant comfort for Ixidor. No number of devastatingly large worms you implant into the subconscious of your greatest enemy will bring back your dead wife. Okay. His illusions weren't so good that he could bring her back perfectly, but by gum, he could try. His grief remained so great that his wrath would manifest.
I love that saying. I'm sorry. By gum. It's the second time I've heard it this week. I don't know the last time I've heard it before. Yeah.
We're bringing it back,
okay,
baby.
Sorry.
We're bringing it back. Yeah. Everybody tweeted Jamie by gum. Ixidor's grief remained so great that his wrath would manifest itself in one of his greatest and best-known conjurations, Akroma, the Angel of Wrath. At the cost of his right arm, Ixidor summoned a being capable of destroying Phage. So he couldn't bring back his dead wife, but he brought somebody, he created something that could destroy his wife. Now, Akroma is...
Destroy what destroyed his wife, not destroy his
wife. Sorry, what did I say? What did you say? Because I was just going to say, destroyed his wife.
Same.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page. So in terms of Magic the Gathering and I know I get really buried into story, but this is like Magic the Gathering is a card game. For anyone who's jumping into this episode and doesn't know what Magic is, it is a card game. So Jamie has a
how did you find? How did you find us before Magic the Gathering, though?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
That's a good question. So, because we need to know how to get more people like you on board, because you're really like an untapped market, obviously. The Amish
untapped.
Yeah, untapped. There's good mana pun for you. So basically, in the card game, Achroma has protection from black, which Phage is. So Phage cannot do any damage to Achroma. She also has flying, first strike, vigilance, and trample, and haste, which are all insane. She's a super powerful
card. Yeah, so she basically can't be touched by anything that's a ground unit and gets to hit first all the time. And on the turn that she's played, she can also attack.
Yeah, and any damage that she does, she'll empty the opposing monster's life pool, and then the rest of it goes to the summoner.
That's insane.
She's as expensive as Phage, but white mana, not black mana. So she's very, very expensive. But she's very, very strong. And so, like, Phage was, like I kind of mentioned, she was always kind of a meme card. She was always kind of, like, special decks that tried to do funky things to just, like, win the game on a fluke. Achroma was just a super, super, super powerful card. Achroma always went for a lot of money. She still goes for like $5. If you want to buy an Achroma card now, you still have to spend like $5 just to buy the card. When she's like, she's only played in like older formats, you know?
Yeah. Every time we talk about this, like, I just want to play Magic the Gathering. Like, do you have two decks? Can we just play a game sometime?
I do have two shitty decks.
Okay.
I also have an online account with some cards that you could play against other people. I can make some decks for you and you can play against other people.
Okay, cool.
But absolutely. We can figure it out. Or we could just go to a draft night or something, and we could just, like, just a Friday night sometime, we could just go play some FNM and... They're like, I'll teach you how to play. Everybody there will be teaching you how to play. It'll be good fun. For anyone, awesome. for anyone who's like Jamie and is like, oh, like I'm like, I also want to go play. I also want to play Magic the Gathering, but I don't have anyone to do. Just look up like your city or town or whatever, and then Friday Night Magic, and it's something organized. Like if you have a game store in your town, they're gonna have on Friday night. They're gonna play Magic the Gathering. It's just it's a thing. It's a thing that game stores do. So cool. Look up Friday Night Magic in your town, and you should be able to find something. So, Achroma, now, Ixidor's Rage, his Wrath, Manifest. She was crafted in his dream and made of his flesh. Ixidor gave her but one objective, to avenge Nivea, no matter the cost. So, obviously, we're setting her up, Achroma, for a lifetime of fulfillment and success, right? Like, just, you have one goal, and it's pure bloody vengeance. That's like a good thing to do for like your kid. It's essentially his kid. You know what I mean? Like his wife's gone, but now he has a kid, and he's like, "Well, you're gonna kill the person who killed your mom." That's the only thing. You're
right. Yeah, I'm starting to think like after you do that, then what do you have to live for? But
yeah, well, it might seem nothing. It might seem like nothing. Yeah, that's So Achroma sets out for.
Oh, we don't have purpose, but let's move on and talk about lore.
Yeah, this is purposeful, you know, where we're talking about make-believe stuff to each other, so that's kind of important if you think about it. Really don't think about it too hard, right? Think about it a bit. So Achroma sets out for Effeto, not Cabal City, in search of Phage. She wouldn't be hard to find, as celebrations were taking place for the recent completion of the construction of Effeto's Grand Colosseum. In the arena, a fight was taking place between Phage and her brother, the barbarian Kamal.
Whoa! That's pretty big. Mm-hmm. That's pretty big. I didn't know that was gonna happen.
Her brother?
They're both like... Wait, sorry. They're both like such tarnished versions of themselves from the beginning of the story too, right? Her brother was like this nice boy who just left the green town and he's going to fight, and like she was like a nice enough person. Now she's been gashed open, filled with worms. He's like all tainted from this
Mercedes. I mean, she and like this was something I was kind of going to touch on later, but like this is such like quintessential like male fantasy writing where it's like the woman just goes through all the shit, and the guy is like, oh, he had the curse of being an asshole when he was born, and like, that's why you gotta feel bad for him. Like, yes, absolutely, but she was like, because of her brother, who she was trying to stop from murdering, like, their family, basically, she was kidnapped by black wizards, she was killed and brought back to life by an evil god, so that she could bear the ruler of the evil city's child, who was the evil god reincarnate and filled with these horrible worms.
Yeah, Kamala, once a month she has these horrible worms against the hysteria.
Yeah, that's it. It's whenever the moon comes out or something. I don't know how periods work. And then Kamal, for his part, was like, I'm obsessed with the Mirari. I'm going to chase it forever. And then it like disappeared, and he lived a good life for a little while, and then it came back, and he was like, I'm going to chase it again. And then got it and killed his sister, or tried to kill his sister.
Okay. Kamal's obviously the asshole here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's gonna get a bit worse in terms of misogyny, I think.
Because they're about to fight.
Well, not quite yet, but like towards the end of the episode, we'll get there. So her brother, Kamal, for his part, was going through a bit of a crisis. He had finally gotten the Mirari, stabbed his sister with his wish-fulfilling sword. His life since that time had been dedicated to deciding the Mirari was evil and trying to save his sister. You know, the thing that his sister had told him, that the Mirari was evil. When he found Phage, he was horrified at what she'd become. He agreed to fight her in the pits at Phage's request, hoping that during the fight he could think of some way to save her from Kubert's grasp. So he goes to see Phage. He goes to visit his sister because he hears she's alive in I can't remember the name of the city at all. Feto. So he goes to see her in a Feto.
We're missing Peter. So here, if you can't remember it, we're missing Peter. Most famous cheese in Greece
is Feta.
Feto.
Feto. Gotcha.
Alfeto. Oh, it's Alfeto.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was Feto this whole time.
No, A-P-H-E-T-T-O.
Okay,
Feto. Feto. Just one famous cheese from Greek. So he goes to see her, finds she's turned into this horrible zombie monster who gave birth to an evil god, and was like, and then she was like, whatever, like, you're not my brother anymore, fuck you, you abandoned me, like, fight me in the pit, coward. Let's go. Let's go. Let's bring your fucking sword. Let's go. So he was like, okay, I will. And he was hoping during the fight he could think of some way to save her soul from Kuber's grasp. At first, Akroma was content to watch the fight, hoping Kamal would do her work for her, but it soon became apparent that would not happen. Kamal would neither hurt nor kill his fallen sister in the hopes that she would see the error of her ways and return to her old self. So, like, Number two in the misogyny here is like this woman who you made this unstoppable killing force, and like, you know, she has the power of death on her side, and she just has to touch somebody and they die, and she's like all feared and all powerful, and she's like dominating the pits. It's like, oh, but our male character could easily beat her, but he's choosing not to. it's like, okay,
yeah,
okay, I don't know why.
We gave the small town all these guns. They started killing each other, and then we started saying, "Hey guys, what are you doing?"
See, like, he turns around to this, and then he's like, oh, come on, sis, you're better than this, come on. You're like, just like doing the older brother thing where he's got his hand out on her head, and she's just like swinging her like two pointer fingers trying to just touch him, and she can't touch him for some reason. Like, I don't know. But Akroma is watching this and is like, oh, Kamal's not gonna kill her. The bright cheers of the crowds fell silent as Akroma alighted in the stands of the arena, and Phage at once received a taste of her own medicine, as Akroma's mere presence acted as anathema to her. So
that's like a nullifier kind of thing?
Like it's sickening. Like she can't be near her without feeling like she's like undoing her very presence. So like Phage is kind of like anathema to life, where like just she probably smells like putrid and like rotting and like sickness and like death, and that's how Akroma smells to Phage. She's just like she can't even focus when she's around her.
They're the opposites.
Unfortunately for Akroma, Kamal was still loyal to his sister and would fight to defend her even in her cursed form. So Kamal and Phage fought against Akroma, who was no match for a brother and sister. Akroma was forced to flee, grievously wounded as her legs fell victim to Phage's touch.
Whoa. So, just so I can picture this, what does Akroma look like? Does it look like a person?
She's an angel. So she's wearing like white plate armor. She's wielding like a sword of like beautiful white magic, and she has like these beautiful angelic wings on her back. And a stern consternation on her face. She looks angry because she's the angel of wrath.
Sick. I like how you didn't use your actual eyebrows on the cam there. You used your fingers to make angry eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly. Akroma also has another printing of her card, which is the Angel of Fury, where she's red. Again, the same cost, just red instead of three black like Phages or three white like the Angel of Wrath is. She's three red.
Cool.
Where she has protection from white and blue. So Phage manages to touch her legs and destroys her legs as she's fleeing. Achroma returns to Ixidor, weeping in immense pain. Ixidor forgave her for what she saw as her failure and decided to not only heal her, but to enhance her. She went from just an angel to like an angel jaguar centaur, as Ixidor imagined her with the legs of a powerful feline. I don't know if that was like a fetish thing or like what, but I don't know. Angels seemed pretty good, and he made her like a jaguar centaur. And this is something that is in a book. It's like this version of Achroma has never been printed. Like it's, I mean, maybe I didn't look that hard, but maybe you could find some artwork of her as a jaguar centaur, like a centaur, like a horse lower half, but a jaguar instead. And I think jaguars are pretty short. Like I think she'd be shorter than a human if her legs were jaguar sized, right?
Yeah, like a horse seems so sturdy, but like a jaguar seems so fluid. So I just picture her like not having core strength. So kind of just like if the jaguar runs, she's like kind of like flopping behind. Or something.
Ah, too fast. Yeah, she got there's like a learning curve where she has to figure out how to strengthen her spine so she doesn't just buckle when the thing takes off. Like
exactly.
So Ixidor gives her these kitty legs because it's his thing and he loves it and it's what he wants to do for her. And because he can, because he just has to imagine something when he's in his realm and it becomes true. So Ixidor this whole time has like established kind of like a country on Otaria, the continent that where all these stories are taking place, where it's just like this, or like a state or a province or whatever, where it's like, that's Ixidor's realm. There's like fucked up trees that look like cats and there's, you know, people that look like cats and there's animals that look like cats. And he's like, he's got a thing for cats, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. The joke we made the last time was the place we know in Otaria because we come from Ontario. Oh, it's pretty close. So instead of whales and stuff, it's jaguars. Got it.
It's jaguars. Jaguars, just the lower half of the jaguar. No jaguar heads.
No, that'd be weird.
Yeah, that would be gross and weird for sure.
Yeah, no. It's Pamela Anderson on top of a jaguar.
Yeah, exactly. Very normal and healthy.
Exactly.
So Ixidor warned Achroma, however, that she should prepare for war, and he was right. Dual force of the Cabal and the Crosan Forest, the Crosan Forest being where Kamal is from, where Jessica is from.
It's green aspected, so, and then black aspect is Cabal.
So there's a green black force coming. Having seen the power of Ixidor's creations when Achroma landed in the arena, basically, so they were marching onto his land. Ixidor began conjuring all the creations he could, and Achroma would lead them into battle. So she's playing like front line for him, trying to save his realm because she still sees him like, I guess, kind of like a father. Like he is kind of like a father. Like he created her, as did all these other creations.
Can you imagine though? Is like just something's coming at you, and really quick, you gotta imagine a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And like there's gonna be some defects that kind of come out of there, like in a dream where you don't quite think it completely through. Yeah. So it's like a jaguar with an ostrich head, just like
that's it. You picture like a minotaur, but he's got like little baby arms, and just like, oh, damn it, he needs those. Whatever, use your horns. Like the horns are like soft, and they like flop. It's like, oh no, it's like wet noodles on his head. Like,
you gotta really slow down and think these things out.
Yeah, that's it. Well, like, do you get like conjurer's block, where you're like, okay, gotta think of something, and like he was probably like all day, he was like daydreaming. He was like, okay, she's off to kill Phage. She's gonna be fine. There's no way Phage's brother's there and would like kill her or whatever. She's gonna do great. I just said, now he's just like thinking of all these fantastic creations. Like he's thinking them into existence. He's thinking them out of existence. Then as soon as it's time to actually do it, he's just like, oh, fuck. What is a bird like? Oh, God. How many feet does a bird have?
When he's banging his jaguar girlfriend or whatever, you just see like the multiples of seven like falling from the sky.
Yeah. 777.
That's
so,
not how that works.
I think so. So Akroma is leading his forces of baby armed minotaurs and ostrich jaguars into battle. The battle would rip Ixidor's lands apart, throwing skyward all manner of fantastical creature and awe-inspiring wonders. In the beginning, at least, it seemed as though Ixidor's forces, with Akroma at the fore, were winning. So they're holding the Cabal and the Crocin Forest back. That is, until those forces encountered Phage. Striding forward, an avatar of darkness and a roiling black death, Ixidor's curse against her was finally reaching its ultimate conclusion. For each of Ixidor's illusions slain, a giant coiling death worm sprouted forth from her, adding to the destruction she wrought.
That is sick as fuck, dude. So going through the battlefield, this black cloud, these worms like climbing above her and like roiling through the earth.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking
she's
cool.
She's just like, as she's, every time she like kills something, she just like summons this like giant worm like, that just like adds to the destruction.
Oh, that's some like Lich King shit, dude, like turning undead kind of thing.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, this is kind of like Ixidor's, like the irony of Ixidor's curse, where he was like, I'm going to make her feel bad all the time because she's going to have these like horrible worms living inside her. And she like shows up, she's like, what's up, bitches? I'm using your worms against you, dummy. Like, why'd you give me all these super strong worms to use? So she's just like going, popping them out, no problem. The last worm that she spits out is the soul of Nivea herself. Slain when Ixidor's torment began. As it does, Phage collapses and reverts once more to Jessica. So Ixidor's magic and the magic that he planted in Phage was strong enough to kind of undo this Numena's curse on her that turned her into Phage the Untouchable. It's like unstoppable killing machine. Suddenly she's Jessica again. We've talked about Planeswalkers before. We've talked about Planeswalker sparks. Jessica's spark is not clear when exactly it happened. I like to think that it was like in this moment that she has her spark and she realizes like, so like shit's happening. Like she wakes up from a fugue state. She's like, oh shit, I've been killing people. Yep. That's not good. I was like going to kill my brother. That's not good. Although he was much too strong for me. Older brother, too tough.
For anyone who doesn't know what a spark is, it's the moment that someone transcends like humanity or basic life into becoming a planeswalker, and it could pop at any moment, usually within extreme stress or some sort of extreme situation.
A turning point in a character's life, basically. One of many climaxes in a character's life. So Jessica, child of Otaria and the barbarian tribes to the north, had been reborn. The worm, the last worm, raging soul of Nivea, would swallow Ixidor as Akroma watched helplessly. Not only does the curse, you know, come back to bite him because it ends up destroying his armies, but like the worm that was basically the corrupted soul of his ex-wife is the one that would swallow him.
So what I'm learning is that notification I got from Tinder, I should not try and get revenge against the ghosters because the ghosters will kill me eventually.
What? No. It's saying you should send giant all-destroying worms after ghosters. If a woman...
Oh, okay, so I'll send worm picks. I'll send worm picks.
I mean, it always works, I think. Yeah. Having never done it, I'm pretty sure it always works. I have a friend, Tanner. He tells me it's like, it's surefire.
Sounds like someone who would send that. Right? The name, like, Tanner.
Right. I was going to get into something. I'll get into it in a little bit. But now, Jessica, once more. She had found her spark, but she had unleashed devastation, which threatened to not only destroy the continent, but to tear apart the very fabric of this world. So these worms and all these souls and all this death is like too much magic centered in one spot for like this world to handle. And if you'll remember from before we started the Jessica series, we were talking about Dominaria, the plane that they're on. And there are these rifts open all over the plane right now, which are basically like sucking out magic and slowly tearing apart the fabric of the realm.
Wow.
The only way that they can get sealed is if a planeswalker offers up their spark to seal it.
Right. Yeah. So you have to sacrifice yourself to save.
Exactly.
Things. Okay.
You have to sacrifice your like magic ability, basically, which like I guess for these people who can travel into interdimensional space and can manipulate all of reality, like it might be like a death. Like how good is your life after that? if you're like, if you're a person like Ixidor who can literally like will things into existence, how do you go back to being like a normal human? I don't know. I think your ego's too out of control at that point, right?
Yeah, to tie it into the misogyny, I guess it'll be a magic vasectomy.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, you still shoot, but it's just not, it doesn't have the same potency, you know?
Exactly.
So she wakes up from this fugue state as Phage, where she like delivered all this death, all this harm, and she sees like these worms just like tearing apart the land, and, like destroying everything and just like wreaking death.
Damn.
So she uses her power to reabsorb the darkness she had unleashed, pulling the essence of all the worms back into herself. All the worms but one, the one manifested from the soul of Nivea. So that worm, this is just like a fun little bonus fact. Later on, Akroma will go find it, and she will confront the worm, basically, and she'll find Ixidor still alive, living inside the worm, worshipping the soul of his ex-wife.
Holy fuck, dude.
That's like...
You can imagine anything in the world. You can imagine anything in the world, and you choose to live in a worm.
Well, it's where his wife's soul is. So it's
imagine
where he wants
another
to be.
Wife.
Speaking of misogyny,
it's crazy, dude.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very like Jonah in the whale in the Bible, except instead of having faith in God, he has faith in the soul of his ex-wife.
Did Jonah fuck the whale?
Yeah, yeah. They were fucking. Okay. Dude. They were fucking for sure.
I missed
sure.
that part.
What do you? You got to read the Bible sometime, man.
Yeah,
it's a wild ride.
Great blowhole job.
Yeah, yeah. stay tuned for the Lore Boys Bible episode where we talk about the Bible. We're not going to do that. That's crazy.
imagine making jokes about the Bible like I just did.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Maybe we'll do the Quran. No. it seems as her stint as Jessica would be short-lived. Kamal, knowing full well that leaving the worms unchecked would see the world destroyed, was forced to watch his sister transformed into Phage once more. Akroma, however, didn't really want to let this go. I guess she kind of feels like she lost this fight, and she's not ready, being the Angel of Wrath / the Angel of Fury. I guess she's just not really to let this go. She would chase Deska down. Not convinced that the woman who was, or sorry, she would chase Phage down, not convinced that the woman who was Jessica could be saved. So Kamal, for his part, is like, damn, guys, watch my sister become Phage. This was my only chance. Drop the mic. I'm out. I'm leaving. Going back to the forest.
It's your fault, dude.
Yeah, it is. Absolute. All of this, all of that we've talked about is Kamal's fault. Like I said in our first episode, I really think this is Jessica's story. This is Jessica's story, and like the whole first episode was dated to Kamal because it's like that was the episode where we're setting up all the things that go wrong. Was Kamal? Right. It's all just Kamal's fault. So he goes to mope in the forest. Phage would fly, would flee to a city called Sanctum, and Akroma would follow a year later once she had raised an army. So
sounds safe there.
Yeah. So during this time, Akroma goes to visit someone. Someone named Stonebrow. She's going to different people, different cities, basically saying like Phage is like a menace. Phage is dangerous. We have to stop her. We have to kill her. You saw what she did to Ixidor, and she summoned all these worms. She could do that again. Like they're all living inside her. Like we need to stop her, kind of thing. So she's going around like maxing out her charisma, trying to, you know, diplomacy checks all over the place, just trying to get people under her side. She goes to visit Stonebrow. When she's there, she like that's when she like she's sitting at the table and she like looks down and her feet got devoured by a portal, and she like goes through and finds that it's a portal to the worm where Ixidor, her like creator, was living or whatever. He ends up giving her blades for legs, and she turns into Akroma, the Angel of Fury.
What the fuck?
Red version. Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, you can sneak under a table and tie someone's shoes together, or you can make a portal into a worm dimension. Yeah. Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. But she got cool sword legs out of it, so I don't know if it's all bad, right?
That's not very practical.
Yeah, I would have loved to, like, flesh that story out more, but like I said, it's like, this was supposed to be a two-parter, and then it was supposed to be a three-parter, and now it's going to be a four-parter. So I was like, I'm just going to give you guys that. I'm going to give you, she went through the wormhole to a worm and lost her legs, and her old daddy gave her sword legs.
Yeah.
That's the cliff notes for it. That's the cliff notes for those three chapters in that book. So
it's like of all legs you could have, like, you usually need a steady base to kind of walk around on, right?
She has wings, though.
Oh. Oh, dude, that's super scary. She comes down B and super smash.
Yeah. Exactly. Her down B is just like, but you gotta be careful not to do it too close to the edge, because you'll just suicide. Like, you're just there's no animation cancel on that move, so.
Right, yeah, you gotta do it over ground, or you gotta do it for serious.
Yeah exactly. For the win, basically. So she goes, she meets Stonebrow, loses her legs, gets new legs, meets other people, a year passes. She decides to go to Sanctum. She has her army now. She is surprised when she arrives to find the gates open to her. And the city's many statues, and like it had like a bunch of statues and monuments in Sanctum, they were all turned sentient. And they weren't like stopping her or her army. They were just guiding her where to go. They were basically showing her into the city. Cool. In the center of the city, there's a giant dome, and Phage is inside it, waiting for Akroma. While Phage had retreated to Sanctum, her brother returned to the Crocin Forest to once more mourn the loss of his sister. He had given up the Mirari some time ago, decrying it as evil, and took up a new axe known as the Soul Reaper. Now, this axe was forged from a couple things, partially the Cabal Patriarch's crest and some other things. But all you need to know is that he has a new weapon, an axe, called the Soul Reaper.
I'm picturing the Arcanite Reaper from the World of Warcraft universe.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I picture too.
Okay.
Like a double-bladed axe, long-handled axe, basically. So like a two-handed, double-bladed axe, butterfly axe or whatever. I think it's important to mention that he called it Soul Reaper because he was like, oh, the Mirari, I tied it onto my sword. It was evil. It made me a bad guy. I'm going to make a new weapon, and it's going to be made from the crest of this super evil guy who killed my sister and turned her into an avatar of death, and I'm going to call it the Soul Reaper because I am reformed and I am good now. he's literally like the bumbling, he's like, I don't know, he's the Sergeant Pyle of the Magic the Gathering universe, where he's just like wandering around bumbling into things and like setting off explosions.
Like, dude, this axe is so worm adjacent you can go fishing with it.
Like, yeah, exactly. Just throw it into the lake. Like, I would do it, honestly.
Exactly. Yep.
He spends a year meditating in the Crocin Forest. So the whole time that Phage is gone and Akroma's building up her army, he's meditating in the forest. Now, when I say the whole year, I mean it. He's not like meditating for 8 or 12 hours a day. He's literally sitting in the forest for a year straight, meditating. He's not eating.
Right.
He's not sleeping. He's laid down his axe beside him, and he meditates in one spot.
You hear the stories of people getting worms planted within them so they don't have to eat anymore, and this guy gets an axe.
This guy gets an axe, and he gets worms implanted in his sister, and he can go a year without eating or drinking.
Exactly,
So after a year of meditation, a centaur and friend named Stonebrow, who knew of Akroma's plan to kill Phage, went to fetch Kamal. So Stonebrow, the guy where Akroma was when she got her legs sucked into the worm portal, he goes to see Kamal because he's like, I know she's going to kill Phage. He doesn't end up giving Phage, he doesn't end up giving Akroma any soldiers or anything like that. But he goes to see Kamal and he's like, hey, I know you're doing this weird thing where you're sitting and not sleeping or drinking or eating for a year straight. But somebody's going to kill your sister. And Kamal, for his part, is like, he hasn't eaten or drank in a year or really slept. So he's like, not very responsive. He's just kind of catatonic.
Yeah.
Stonebrow places Soul Reaper in Kamal's hands. It becomes infused with green energy and Kamal is brought back. So it's not explicit, but I like to think it's like, this is representative of a singularity of purpose now that Kamal has suddenly found. So he symbolically laid down his axe and basically like consigned himself to death. And his friend Stonebrow is like, no, like Phage is going to get into another fight with Akroma. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's, like, nobody knows what's going to happen now. Somebody has to go like check on this and make sure everything's okay.
This is like a mission of atonement kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess in his eyes, like that's the purpose that he sees for himself kind of thing.
Okay.
Akroma would face Phage in the center of Sanctum, and the two battled fiercely. A woman named Zagorka, who had fought in the war against Ixidor, who came to be the leader of Sanctum, and who was slowly unveiling the secret that Sanctum had, would be present there. So okay. Sanctum is not just a city. It's actually the awakening form of a new Numena called Averu, who sought to stop them. So let's talk about the Numena a bit. I kind of mentioned them. And we'll
I'm not I'm not sure what to picture. Like whenever you say, like, is it a giant dragon they're sleeping on? Is it a spirit? Is it a
originally the Numena were wizards. They were the most powerful wizards on the plane of Dominaria, and each one of them picked a color. So black had Kuber, red had Averu. So they were these all-powerful gods, and they destroyed some things called the Titans, which lived on Dominaria before. So they basically took full control of the plane when the plane was still like relatively young. They were the first true rulers of this world, and like over time they were forgotten, they were killed, they were betrayed, they were whatever. They've all died out at this point, and now we're kind of seeing like them come out of the woodworks and be reborn. I'll talk a bit more about them tomorrow, because it has a lot to do with Corona, the false goddess's backstory.
Okay.
And when I say tomorrow, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean the next time I record an episode of the Lore Boys podcast.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Peter's still tied up tomorrow, but anyways. Yeah.
I could have one ready for tomorrow. I won't have one ready for tomorrow because I choose not to. So there's this woman, Zagorka.
Yeah, guys, that's it. When we don't have an episode in a week, it's because Ethan chooses not to.
Yeah, Ethan wears the pants around here, and if Ethan says no episode, there's no episode. You better believe it. If somebody doesn't like my post on Twitter or give me a retweet or you know, upvote me or send me a nice message on the email, we're not getting an episode because Ethan is pouting, and Ethan is in his room. He is lying in his bed writing in his diary, and he does not have time to record an episode. So there's this woman named Zagorka. Horrible name, can I just say? Who is probably black aligned? So she fought with the Cabal forces to invade Ixidor's lands and fought in what was called the Nightmare War. Averu, and then when she got back, they like a lot of people who survived that war went to Sanctum. Like they reallocated there like a huge portions of the army, and she kind of got elected like unofficial leader of the city, I guess, like after Phage. But Phage like. Didn't really engage in the day-to-day. She was more just like, I need a couple of people to kill every day, and everybody else stay the fuck out of my way. And
got it.
Zagorka was like, okay, I guess I'll organize the tax collection then, you know? The community center is a dump. Who's going to fix that up? I guess it's up to old Zagorka.
Wait, is this a Stardew Valley episode? What do you mean the community center? different game.
I have started playing Stardew Valley, so that is why I thought of it. I'm glad you got there, too.
Dude. I've been playing on my phone because I have it here. And it's wonderful. Yeah.
We'll link cable and I'll duel you when you get back.
You better watermelon against my radish.
Like. Yeah, yeah. It's like the rock paper scissors of Stardew Valley. Watermelon beats radish.
Cranberry beats everything.
Exactly. So, check out the Lore Boys episode on Stardew Valley if you want to know more about what the fuck we're talking about. It has nothing to do with Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, the Stardew Valley fun fact was written in like 30 minutes before we had to go up because we confused who was supposed to be writing and no one had an episode when we showed up. So I was like, I love Stardew Valley. Don't worry, I got this. So.
Jamie had just been playing it for like 4 weeks straight, like not sleeping, just fucking farming cranberries. So he was like, I'm good to go, honestly.
Yeah.
So, just getting back on track. Averu, the Numena, who was kind of the sleeping city. So, he was a wizard, presumably human. I think it's just his spirit is like manifest in this city. Okay. I'm not entirely sure what that means right now. I don't know if next week we might talk about what that means, if I can find some interesting stuff on it. Otherwise, all you need to know is like, hey, the city is person, and it's red person who's strong wizard.
Yeah. So it's like that horror movie Monster House, where the monster was the house.
Oh.
And this place, like, it's
I've never
a village,
really seen that coming.
It was the guys who wrote Rick and Morty actually wrote it. So,
oh yeah,
very good writing.
There
yeah.
you go. So Averu, this red new mana who is a city but also a person, saw Zagorka as its mother. And Zagorka feared the fight between the two might destroy the fledgling new mana. So Zagorka is like, you know, doing her thing. She's like hiring garbage men all day, and she's, you know, making sure like the sewers don't get backed up, and she's like trying to open up a new recycling plant. And then one day
we have drinkable water, everything. Yeah,
everything you need for a city. And then one day the streets start talking to her, or a voice in her head starts talking to her and starts calling her mom, and she's just like, yeah, you know what, I am your mom. You know what, I deserve this. I worked hard for this. I am your mother. She's worried that the fight between Akroma and Phage will turn into another Ixidor fiasco with death worms destroying everything, and she wants to stop that. So she goes to the dome. As she goes, Kamal arrives. As Kamal kind of strides into the dome, she sees like, oh, fuck this asshole now. I'm going to put a stop to this before everything gets fucking out of hand here, okay?
Yeah.
She throws herself between Phage and Akroma. She's a magic wielder of some skill. It's not super clear how much skill or how strong she is. She's probably not on their level, but by gum, she's going to do her best.
is her aspect gray? Because she's going right between white and black? Or
It's red and black at this point.
Red and black.
Okay. Dark red. She's brimstone colored.
Cool.
No, I think she's black because she fought with the Kamal. So,
yeah,
I think she's the same as Phage. Kamal, blinded by what he now saw as his solemn task, barely registered the newcomer. Kamal realized when he picked up the axe that he is too much a cuck to figure out how to fix this problem, and he's like, I'm just going to go kill my sister and get this over with.
Oh, what? That's so, the solution?
That singularity of purpose I mentioned? It was, I guess I'll just go kill her.
What? I thought he was trying to save her. He spent a year in the fucking woods and this is his plan?
Like, he wades into the arena. With one swing of Soul Reaper, Kamal slew Phage, Akroma, and the unsuspecting Zagorka. One swing... Three of the most powerful women on the continent are dead. So, I did say this is very, very prototypical male fantasy that's just like, oh, man is so much stronger. He used power of axe. Those stupid women shouldn't have talked so much.
He spent a year getting ready for that one big swing, though.
He spent a year not eating or drinking. Like, how could he even stand?
No, dude. Like Super Smash Bros., he was just charging that attack, you know, the whole fucking year.
He spent the whole year growing out his neck beard, and he was just about ready whenever he got there. He put on his fucking button-up red shirt with a Chinese dragon on the back, and, like, grabbed his katana, his fedora,
Kicked
and, like,
his
neck
fedora
beard.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
He pushed his glasses up, and they lit up so you couldn't see his eyes anymore. And then with one swing of his Soul Reaper, the most weeaboo fucking name for a weapon, the Soul Reaper, he kills all three of them. The souls of the three powerful women were torn from them so violently that they created a vortex, swirling and melding together. There was a flash then, a blinding explosion. The center of that explosion, three terrific souls of unimaginable power had changed into something greater. A magnificent light and a being of radiance and raw strength. Corona, the false goddess, was born of three souls.
Whoa, white, black?
Corona is... Let's look it up, actually. That's a great question.
Yeah. That's intense, dude.
She's all five color.
All four?
So she's one colorless, white, blue, black, red, green.
Damn.
At the beginning of each player's turn, basically, if you play the card, it's on the field. Mm-hmm. Like Jamie had kind of called me out for an accidental pun earlier. There's a thing called tapping in Magic where you turn the card sideways and it means it's been used. You can't use it again until your next turn. So anytime you attack, you tap, unless it has vigilance like a Chroma did. But so you tap the card. Corona's text is at the beginning of each player's upkeep, she untaps and that player gains control over. So she just like hops around the board doing whatever. But her whole thing is she buffs a certain creature type. So she's supposed to be played in like a very themed deck. Whereas like if you're playing a goblin deck, Corona would buff all your goblins whenever it's your turn. Whereas like if another player is playing like a spell deck or something, they won't necessarily have like a theme to their creatures.
Okay. That's cool. But she only buffs them if you squeeze one green energy down the bottle, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. One green energy in there, and it just gives it like a nice little, it's like a little lighter, you know what I mean? It's just like a little bit better.
The taste of summer.
Yeah. So next time I do this thing called podcasting, I'm hoping I can wrap up this series. We'll get started talking about Corona, the false goddess, who she is, where she comes from, what her ties to the Numena are, because she does have ties to them. So we'll get into a bit of them, a bit of her, a bit of everything. But I think for this episode, this is a good place to stop.
Awesome. Yeah. No, this is really cool. Like, I didn't know much about Magic the Gathering universe, and genuinely interested in this whole story. Hoping to learn more about what happens next. You guys should know, I guess I'll be back in Canada for the next recording, so the sound quality should go back up again, which is really cool to hear.
It won't be so grating on everyone's ears.
Well, that's just me day to day, right?
Yeah, but, exactly.
Yeah, it's World of Warcraft Classic will be out by the next time we record, probably too. So my next episode will definitely probably be World of Warcraft again. Mm-hmm. But hope you guys are into it. If you are, let us know on all of our social media. You can find us at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. We read them out on air. We'd love to hear them. They honestly make our day. So send them over.
So honestly, super, super nice. Even if it's like you're adding us to the Area 69 raid and you only speak Dutch, and we don't understand what you're saying, we still have a great laugh whenever you send us these emails, so keep that up.
We got two emails today, or not this week, completely Dutch, saying Area 69. So is it like an Area 51 joke, but for 69?
Yeah, for 69.
I didn't Google Translate.
I don't know, but nice.
Are you going to read it?
I did say I would. I don't have it right now. I'll read it on the next episode, I promise. Jamie and Peter can remind me to do it. I want to give a shout out to Mecha Paladin and Saucy Chimera, our two patrons on Patreon. This week, sometime, we will have more tiers set up for anybody who wants to support us on any kind of denomination. Our lowest denomination right now is $3 paltry dollars a month, and you'll get a shout out like I just gave you. Saucy Chimera on Twitter, Mecha Paladin. I'm not sure if he's on Twitter, but he's definitely Mecha Paladin on our Discord. You can find links to our Discord on our site, like Jamie said, loreboys.com.
And it's a buck a boy.
Buck a boy, and so $3. We each get $1. Exactly. We have other tiers coming.
We're looking to kind of like get some new software, because like when we do these recording things, I do travel for business fairly regularly lately, and so that we don't have to have these kind of crunchier sound qualities. So you guys will hear my voice like butter. We want to get some better software and stuff like that. So your Patreon, it's not just helping us go out and buy beer or something like that. Like, it's really helping improve what you like, which is the podcast. So.
Yeah. You can find me at Ethan the Deadman on Twitter. You can try and find me other places, but I don't really go on Facebook, and I never use Instagram, and I'm so bad at checking my email. If it's not my work email, I'm so bad at checking my personal email. So this has been a lot of fun. We normally say that there's a Lore Boys premium. So we do have a worm ointment to give away for any of our supporters who don't want to go through Patreon, don't trust the man, don't trust the big credit cards. Just send us an unmarked envelope with a bunch of money in it. Anytime we get an unmarked envelope, we always rip it open right away, see what's inside. If it's full of a bunch of money and you don't want to like write anything down because you don't want like an FBI investigator to like be able to detect your handwriting and know it came from you or whatever. And then just leave money and we'll know it was for this. And we will send you by P.O. Box or whatever a jar of worm ointment. Now, worm ointment is not what you might think it is. It will not get rid of worms. It's ointment made of worms. It's like a worm paste, basically. We take a bunch of worms.
It's from worms, by worms, for worms.
The worm.
If you've had some questionable activity and your worm is excreting some white mana every once in a while, you can just put this worm ointment on and it'll clear up in a week to 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, there's no guarantees that anything clears up, but it'll clear up in a week to 2 weeks, guaranteed. So I think that would constitute a Lore Boys, Lore Two Boys
out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.